chapter in Likutei Moran where it says that the Gemara makes a statement many times that when a tzaddik encountered a person and the person did a certain type of crime, it says Nosan Einov Boi, the tzaddik looked at the person, V'nase Gal Shelat Somos, and the person turned into a pile of bones. So Reb Michal mentions this many times. The Gemara says this, so fine, it's cute. Lahavdil, like in a comic, there's exciting stories. This one killed that one. But the Gemara wouldn't be saying it if there weren't a message in it for us specifically. What's the message here? Rabbeinu Zal has a turn in Likutei Moran where he explains that, again, that one of the worst problems that a person could possibly have is the fact that the person doesn't realize they have problems. The person walking around thinking that things are okay, he's beseder with Hashem, when he's not really beseder. He's actually producing 5% of what he's capable of producing for Hashem. He thinks he's doing okay, and he doesn't know Hashem is interested in that other 95% that you're capable of doing if you're not doing, because you're sleeping. You're sleepwalking, you're sleep davening, you're sleep learning, you're not really giving what you can. So Rabbeinu Zal explains, what's one of the most important things that a tzaddik does for such a person? Nosan Einov Boi. The tzaddik has special eyes. There's a pasuk, Einei Hashem El Tzaddikim. Hashem gives his eyes to tzaddikim. Tzaddikim possess the Einei Hashem, which can see everywhere. They can see right through a person. The tzaddik, it doesn't say histak elbo, that the tzaddik looked at the person. It says nosan einov boi. The tzaddik gives his eyes, his vision, into the person. He gives the person the ability to see. What happens then? Nase gal shel atzomois. There becomes a hisgalus. The word gal means a pile of, atzomois means bones. The word gal is also miloshin gilui. There becomes revealed that which was originally otzum, that which was originally closed up, hidden from the person. And that's when the person crashes. When it says the person died, sometimes a person can die from that. If the tzaddik shows it to you too fast, if he takes off the curtain in 1 second and puts a mirror in front of you, and he shows you how really terrible you look in front of Hashem, a person could die from it, chas v'shalom. 100%. Whereas if the tzaddik does it in stages with an eyedropper, today he points out to the person one thing that they need to improve. He waits a couple of days, another thing, slowly, here, there, and suddenly the person sees that the tzaddik is making him over completely. Tzaddik is giving the person the opportunity to literally recreate himself completely from scratch. It's a Gemara. The Gemara uses this expression many times. Nosan Eino Boi, that a Rosh did something, and Tzaddik looked at him, and he turned him into a pile of bones. And Rabbeinu Zal explains it to be the greatest chesed. This is one of the greatest favors that a Tzaddik does for a person, where he gives the person the ability to see himself in a much truer way than the person was seeing himself up to then. Here again, how many people are there that will open a Likutei Moran? People that are religious, that grew up in religious homes and everything, and they thought they knew what tefillah was about. And suddenly they see a level of tefillah described that they didn't even imagine in their wildest dreams that such a thing is available in 1993, you know. Right. Correct. That's what it is. But before you can give a person teichacha, you have to be able to open the person's eyes to seeing themselves, you know, really seeing that they're wrong.
Yeah, the nothing,
exactly. Continuing, ki rak bishvil ze nivro ha'odom v'yorat loylo magashmi azeh hamolei klipois v'hasosois, because it's only for this reason that people were sent down to this physical world, which is loaded with klipois, and hasosois means all kinds of seducing, you know, the people trying to be temptations. Kidei sheyuchal lohoitzi hachasodim hanelomim mo'oid mo'oid mihela malagiloi, so that the person should be able to draw out from hiding Hashem's innermost, most hidden kindness. Shezeh iker gedula sabri sporach. That's the true greatness of Hashem, His kindness. The main greatness of Hashem is Hashem's kindness, which is synonymous with Gedula. We said that in the seven spheres, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzachoid, in the Chumash it replaces the word Chesed with Gedula. So we see that the Iker Gedula of Hashem is the Chesed of Hashem. That's why if you say Yom Kippur Kotan, we mentioned this before, in Yom Kippur Kotan, one of the things we say there in the Vidui is that Hashem, if you're angry that I committed sins, there's a good side to it also. Because until a Jew commits a sin, your true kindness can't really be shown. The fact that you're sustaining us and providing for us when we're good, that doesn't show your ultimate greatness. Your ultimate greatness is proven when a Jew does averos and you give him the ability to return, to bounce back, to do tshuva. You're willing to receive him back. That's when the world comes to see how great Hashem is, right?
That I'm sinning, I'm really, I'm elevating Hashem's ability to express His kindness and keep me in this world.
The answer is, I have the chance of elevating it. But who knows if you're going to play with that, whether you're going to fall all the way. That's like Rav Levi Yitzchak Bardichevzel, who once saw a drunk sitting in the street. And he walked over to him with an incredible look of respect. And he said to me, I have no idea how much respect I have for you and how jealous I am of you. And the guy thought he was making fun of him. He said, you have nothing better to do, Rabbi, than to make fun of a drunk? So he said to him, no, you don't understand. The second you decide to change, in one day, you're going to be able to give Hashem more nachas than I can give him in a year or 2 years. Because of the fact that you've gone to such a low place, if you'll scoop yourself out of there and pick yourself up out of the mud and clean yourself off and start, the nachas Hashem will get from you and the kavod that Hashem will get from you is much more than I can give him in 40 shachrises. You understand? Ki ikar gedulosoi hu hachesed. The main greatness of Hashem is Hashem's kindness. Shenikra gedula, which is called gedula. And the more that a Jew succeeds in drawing out Hashem's kindness from its hiding place, forcing Hashem to show His kindness, Hashem's greatness is revealed more. This is the main concept behind the definition of Yerida Tachlis Hu'Aliyah. Through the fact that a person fell and went down, and still the person didn't give up on themselves, and they didn't give up on Hashem, but rather they were able to show, to arouse their faith in Hashem's infinite kindness. That person actually reveals the kindness of Hashem, umoitzi hachesed hanelam, and he draws out the hidden kindness, b'chinas nistor anal mihelem alagilui. He draws it out from hiding into the open. Sheze ikar, again, because when such a person does tshuva, he's proving to the world, look, the fact that I'm doing tshuva implies that I believe with 100% faith that it's not that because I did so many sins, it's all over for me, Hashem can't help me, but rather I believe that it's possible no matter how bad you are, Hashem is big enough to be able to fix you and accept you back. It's a show of the greatness of Hashem. It's a vote of confidence for Hashem. In Tachlis means without any limit, like unlimited.
What about that Hashem Himself said, don't do these things, and the guy had free will, and he did them anyway.
Right.
So why should Hashem forgive him?
What? Because that's Hashem's greatness. Which person is greater? A person who somebody wrongs them, they can put a bullet in them and put them away and finish them off? Or a person who can take somebody that's their enemy and convert them to their friend, make them their best friend? Which is a bigger accomplishment? That's the chiddush in tshuva. Tshuva means that this person at one point was Hashem's enemy, and Hashem is so great and so intelligent and so kind, he doesn't lose his... That person loses his temper, you do something wrong to me, bam, and finished. I killed him and wiped him out. Hashem exercises aricha sapayim, super patience, waiting for the tshuva, waiting to see, is there any chance that this enemy can be turned around and become a friend, become an ally? Shezeh Iker Gdul Osei Yisporach. This is the main greatness of Hashem. Shebishvil Zeh Boro Ha'ilam. This is the ultimate purpose for which Hashem created the world. Kidei Legalois Rachmo V'chasodo. Because Hashem wanted to have a ballpark in which He could reveal His kindness. V'zeh Iker Aliyosoi. And that's the main aliyah of the person. When a person's in a state of Yerida, and instead of giving up on himself or giving up on Hashem, he believes in Hashem's kindness and he uses that as a rope to pull himself back up, to start doing mitzvahs, to reverse and start doing mitzvahs, this is the aliyah. The aliyah is Mashehisig Bechinas Nishma, Bechinas Tfila, Bechinas Nistar Hagavoya Yoser. The aliyah is that the person was able to draw on a higher level chesed, a higher level than the level that he's on. Shekol bechinos elu hem bechinas chasodim hagavoyim biyoser. This is all referring to the uppermost levels of kindness, shehoyu nistorim oid, which were originally hidden, and you weren't forced to unlock them until the friendship was tested in a sense. Lahavdil, I'll give you an example. The Bnei Yisachar quotes a very interesting thing. The Gemara says in one place that whenever the Jews followed Hashem's bidding, then the Kruvim in the Beis HaMikdash were facing each other. Whenever the Jews went against Hashem, the Kruvim were in reverse. They back to back. The Gemara says that when the Romans broke into the Beis HaMikdash, when the Jews went to their worst low, and they broke into the Beis HaMikdash, they found the Kruvim in an embrace. And they took this out in the street and said, look, these are the holy Jews. These are the real religious Jews. Look what they have in their holy of holy places. You know, implying chas v'shalom, an image of love, that kind of thing. So the Bnei Yisachar asks, but hold, there's taka kasha here. That was when the Jews were at one of their lowest lows. Why is it that the Kruvim were in embrace? Why is it that they weren't back to back? And he explains an incredible thing. There's a law in Shulchan Aruch that says that when a man is leaving home, when a man is going on a trip, before he leaves the house, before he goes away on the trip, there's a mitzvah for him to be with his wife. Why? The question is, what's the logic for that? The logic is that bichlal, husbands and wives, bring children into the world. Based on the level of ahava d'kedusha between them, that determines how high level a neshama they bring into the world. It depends on the warmth and the goodness, the holy goodness that's between them. That's what determines what level neshama they bring into the world. So now, the Bnei Yisachar explains, when a person's about, usually when you have two close friends and they're parting ways, even though when they're together, they love each other. When it comes time to separate, both of them start crying, or one of them starts crying. What is that crying a reflection of? That the volume got turned up on the friendship. That as a result of knowing that we're going to be separated now, suddenly the feelings of friendship are multiplied like, and the person feels an overwhelmed feeling of love that causes them to cry tears of friendship like. You understand that kind of feeling? So he says that's why that's the ultimate time for a husband and wife to be together, because that's when the ahava is multiplied. The fact that she knows he's leaving and she, her feelings for him are increased as a result of that, that makes even stronger, better chance of bringing down the best neshama. Therefore the Bnei Yisachar says that when the Jews hears Churban Beis HaMikdash, Hashem was throwing the Yidden into the garbage. He was about to get rid of or throw them all out of Eretz Yisrael. But was it a permanent throwing out? Chas v'shalom. It was a father with his children, where the most painful thing in the world is for a father to throw a kid out of the house. And when that happens, when the kid is thrown out of the house, the father has to fight the tears back tremendously, because the knowledge that the kid is going to be leaving him, being thrown out, is what doubles, multiplies the feelings of love for that kid. You understand? For the child. That's why they found the Kruvim in an embrace. It represented this concept that because the Shekhinah was going into Golos, the feelings were aroused double. You understand? Here also, this is the concept where a Jew does sins. On one hand, Hashem gets angry. There are feelings of anger aroused by Hashem. But on the other hand, the more the Jew becomes distant and distant from Hashem, the more yearning Hashem feels for that person, the more the feelings of love and kindness and pity are aroused more and more in Hashem.
There is like an idea that if somebody does a sin, like, I mean, he might be punished very severely, even with death.
Correct.
He has a chance to do tshuva, but even if he does tshuva, he's still executed. No?
Depends.
I mean, there are instances.
It depends, because we humans aren't qualified to judge what's real tshuva or not. So we can't, although again, you have tzaddikim. What is Bezdin? Who are the ones who decide whether he should be put to death? Tzaddikim. A court of law isn't a bunch of guys who went to university and learned the halachas. A court of Jewish law is a group of tzaddikim who are in a position to search, look this person over, and if there's any chance in the world of justifying him or being able to, they'll find it. You understand?
Well, after he's sentenced.
Right.
Right. They take him out.
Yes.
And they keep asking him if he's done.
Exactly.
They try to encourage him to do tshuva.
Exactly.
But even if he does tshuva, isn't that the kapara?
Put to death.
Yeah. Isn't that the,
so still, lahavdil, it's like a child who becomes ill and needs an operation. No matter how much the parent loves the child, he can't say that because I love you so much, you're not going to have the operation. The operation you're going to have, but I'm going to be with you throughout the whole thing to give you the strength and support.
So that's a tough tshuva to do.
Exactly. So we said, v'zoyche l'hasigom, the Jew is zoyche to be masig, this chesed of Hashem, al yidei shehischazek bo'itzem hayerida, through the fact that the person held on when they were going through the worst state of Yerida, lehishtoikik l'Hashem Yisborach, to yearn to Hashem, ulehispalel, and to daven, ulehishanin, and to plead, elav Yisborach, with Hashem, al yidei goitel ho'azus digdusha, shehichnisu boi hatzadikim giboi rekoya kanal. Through the tremendous azus digdusha that the tzadikim teach their students. The tzadikim who know Hashem's kindness and understand Hashem's kindness more than anybody, they're the ones who are able to inspire their students, those that are close to them, to know how much chutzpah to have. That you think that you're a lost soul, come on, you think that you have no chance, I'm telling you that if you just jump in, Hashem will take you back. Of course. Isn't it true by human beings that there are certain cases that a person would go to a human being? You had two people that go to a guy in Misrata Pnim. One guy says, can you help me? Can you help me? You know, can you help me? I have this and this problem. And the guy says, no, sorry, I can't. Goodbye. Then another guy comes in who's a salesman. And this guy comes in and says, you know, I want you to know that I just spoke to somebody that was here yesterday. And they told me that they had a situation where nobody in the whole place here was able to help them. And they came to you, and they saw in you that you had the ability, you had the vision to see, to understand their problem, and you had the connections and everything and the experience to be able to help them. And now I want to present to you that person's problem was a bigger problem than mine. I have a little thing here, and I'm sure, I know that you can help me. 99% of cases, it's a whole different ballpark when you're going like that. Person comes to Hashem and says, Hashem, help me. Hashem says, sorry, I can't help you. A tzaddik comes to Hashem and says, Hashem, let me talk to you, Hashem. Let me review with you the thousands of chasodim you did for me just today. And he starts enumerating thousands of chasodim. And he says, Hashem, you see how great you are. You see how you always came through for Klal Yisrael. Always. Now I have this one Talmud that did this little thing wrong. And even what he did, he didn't really mean it. And even if he meant it, it was because he didn't know it. Malamitzchus, and it's a whole different situation. He's able to draw a level of chesed. You know, two people, the kid who sent the letter to his father, Daddy, I need shoes, I need this, I need that. You know, one neighbor read it like that. And the second neighbor read it, Daddy, I need shoes, I don't have shoes, you know, da da da. And the way they read it, it was a whole different impression, you know, that kind of thing.
So is this a chiddush of of Chassidus? Or is it something...
That what?
Because you would think in the Havamini that when a person does Averas, so he would read Shari Tshuva, and he would try to feel bad and not do it anymore. This is apostasy.
Exactly. There are people that think that the tshuva means like showing Hashem that you're depressed and sad over the sin, versus Rav Nosson's are presenting a whole different spectacle here, like of a person, instead of getting down and depressed, the best defense is a good offense. Instead of me describing to Hashem how bad I am and how sorry, I'd rather describe to Hashem how good Hashem is. You understand?
Instead of taking the attention on himself,
exactly,
he takes it away from himself. It's the opposite approach.
Exactly, in a certain sense.
It seems to me also from this that the other approach, and he doesn't mention it, is very, very difficult. It was only for people in earlier generations.
Exactly,
like
it's
that.
Much more dangerous, because when you start getting down on yourself, you can spiral yourself into worse depression. Sometimes from a desire to do tshuva, from a desire to improve, people end up blowing themselves out of the water completely. Whereas if a person takes this approach, where the tzaddikim teach their constituents the chesed of Hashem, they show the person how big Hashem is. If Hashem is so big, then he can even help me. There was once a discussion, there were a few chassidim that were riding on a train, and each one was telling over a miracle from their Rebbe. So they pointed to one of the people there that was abreast of it, and they said to him, how come you're being quiet? How come you don't tell us a miracle that your Rebbe did? He said, I don't have to say anything. Look at me. I am a miracle of my Rebbe. The fact that I'm religious today, the fact that I have the feelings that I do towards Torah and towards Yiddishkeit, that's the biggest miracle. Because based on where I was at before he met me, the fact that he was able to present Hashem to me in such a way that I was able to become so inspired and so motivated to want to serve Hashem so well, that's the biggest miracle. That's Tchias HaNesim. He took a corpse and turned them into a live wire. Lahamin b'chasodov v'atzumim. They inject into the person the ability to believe in the awesome chesed of Hashem, she'enom kolim lo'ilam kana, which are infinite. They never ending. U'bishvil zeh. Now it's for this reason that the Gemara makes a statement, b'mokoim she'balei tshuva oimdim, ein tzadikim gemurim yecholim lamoy. That which balei tshuva can do, tzadikim can't do. Ki habal tshuva megalin u'mefarsimim b'yoyser chazdoi v'tuvoi. The bal tshuva is the one, the tzadik is the one who shows that Hashem is fair. Hashem is a fair and honest guy. Proof is that the tzaddik put in a hard day's work of Torah and tefillah and mitzvahs, and Hashem gave him food and clothing and everything else. Fine. But the Baal Tshuva, al yedei shehizchazgu livtoyach bechazdoi bo'oitzim yurido iskoelu shavru aleihem, the Baal Tshuva, who was able to hang in there despite the fact that he went through super yeridos, super averos, and super mistakes, and super bad things, and he's able to hold on, what's he holding on to? The only thing he could possibly be holding on to is his faith in Hashem's kindness, in Hashem's greatness. Because again, if he looks at himself in any way, he's the worst. If he has any iota of honesty, he'll be the one to stick the knife in himself. I am bad, I am all bad, I am a rotten. But if he perceives how good Hashem is, no matter how bad, I'm 5 billion bad, Hashem is 5.5 billion good. Hashem's good always outruns my bad. We said that's what the Baal HaTanya says, is the Taichan Chanun HaMarbe L'Sloyach. Hashem is kind. Marbe means a lot, and Marbe means more. The Baal HaTanya said that if you get a Jew who's a craftsman, he's really good at doing sins, he gets himself up to the point where he can do 60 sins a minute, Hashem is marbe l'sloach. Hashem's ability of slicha is 62 units a minute. However fast you are, he's always outrunning you with chesed.
If they were bad, if it wasn't in relationship to knowing that there's a standard, if a person really rasha, they think it's okay. If you think you're bad, it's already against the context of knowing that there's a goodness.
To a certain extent, it's relative. knows, on one hand, I have to realize that I am bad, but compared to Hashem's good, and if Hashem is everything, I'm nothing, we have the concept of botel b'shishim, botel b'elef. If, to the extent that I consider myself, the Gemara, in fact, Rav Nosson brings this on the Likutei Halacha, it's in Yoredeya. The Gemara says that if you have treif that falls into a pot of kosher, then if there's enough of the kosher, it nullifies the treif, and that you can eat the whole thing. Up midai raisa. However, the Gemara says there are certain exceptions to that rule. What's one of the exceptions? Complete barrier, or dovor horoi lischabed, something which would be considered respectable to serve to a guest. Now, even if it's not a whole cow, a piece of steak, a nice round steak, is dovor choshuv. It's roi lischabed. You understand? It's something that you could serve to show respect to a guest. If that falls into a pot of 500 times as much kosher, it doesn't help. Rav Mosenthal says in Likutei Halachos, you know what that's talking about? A person who has kovod, person who says, I'm a somebody. If I'm a somebody, then no matter how much of Hashem there is in the world, it isn't enough to be mevatel my ra. But to the extent that I'm able to come to the realization that I'm not roi liskabed, I'm not owed any respect, I fall into a level where I have zero kovod. I have zero kovod, Hashem has all the kovod, then if I fall into Hashem, I become nullified to Hashem. I become purified completely. Makes sense? This is Rav Nosson Zal learning Yoredeya, learning animals and shechita and kosher into treif, and knowing how it applies to me and you. It's his eyes.
Would other people outside of Hasidus accept that on a drudge? On
what? On Shulchan Aruch?
I don't know.
Some of them might laugh at it. But
yeah, these proofs that to them would...
Would silence? 5% yes, 95% no. 95% because they're not looking for the truth. The Gemara says that the Torah is Samchaim and Samovis, the same Chumash. This guy's reading it and it's putting him into depression and it's making him less religious. And Rav Nosson Zal's reading the same, he's going through the same Shulchan Aruch they are, and every page in Shulchan Aruch is his chaskus and his soirus. Every
page. What's going on?
They don't. That Musar is for ladies, Musar is for girls. This is Shulchan Aruch. What are you mixing Musar with Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch is for men and Musar is for ladies. Everybody knows that, right?
There's no Tamim for the mitzvot, there's no Pima, there's no one. That you can only do after years and years of 40, 50 years of learning more, and then they text you and they see that your Peshat is still lost, so then they don't hold by anything else you said.
It's a deeper Peshat. But that's the point. No.
No. This is the hardest thing.
That's not what he's saying. But he's saying that these interpretations, which seem to be so obvious and clear, this Musar that seems to so clearly fit into the halacha, it's not that he's twisting, like sometimes you open certain sforim and they twist something 4,000 ways to make it fit into the concept that they're trying. Here he presents things that are so clear and simple. So he's asking, are there people that will reject this? If I go over to a person, I tell him about this halach and Shulchan Aruch, and I tell him how Rav Nosson Zal interpreted it, Alpi Musar, are there people who are going to say that's baloney? The answer is yes. Why? Because they're not Zoicha. That's why. Because they're not Zoicha. Plain and simple. They're not looking for a certain level of truth, so their truth is a more limited one.
So they're comfortable with a complete truth for them, the way they're learning?
Yes. Yes.
They have no question, they have no doubt.
And if they do have doubt, they suppress it, they stifle it. Or they look for different answers. Some of them look for different answers, different pshatim. Each one finds, you know, what he's looking for to some degree.
Well, the Gaon seems to also say, I mean, not that I read it, but people tell me that he says also that you need the nigla of the soul in order to understand the pshat.
True. The Chidozal says that there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Al Tihiyu Kisus. Kifered ein hovin. Don't be like horses or mules who have no true understanding. The Chidozal says, you know what this refers to? This refers to those Jews who say that they're only interested in 75% of the Torah. They're willing to learn pshat, they're willing to learn remez, they're willing to learn drush. Shas, Shulchan, everything. But just this thing, the Zohar and the Arizal, that when I'll be 90 years old, when I'll be 120, when I'll be 160, when I... In other words, they separate that. They put that in a different bucket. They separate the Samach from Pardes. What is a person left with? Pered Ein Hovin. That person lacks a true understanding of Torah.
Is that true?
Pered means a mule that doesn't understand.
You see,
the Zohar is mentioned in the Siddur.
The answer is also true. They don't even notice it. Some of them don't notice it, or if they do notice it, there's all kinds of answers. I'm telling you again, if a person is looking, I've made the mistake enough times of trying to impress upon somebody who wasn't interested at all, trying to show them the truth. And there's 400 different ways that the Sotan wiggles out of it, like, and twists out of it. And you get a person who's really sincere and who is looking for the truth, him you don't have to sell. You just show him a drop, and he says, wow, that's me. That's the Torah that I was looking for. That Torah is from Sinai. That's heavenliness.
The last thing Rav Nosson Zal had said was, "V'bishvil zeh, v'mokim shebalei tshuva indim, ein tzadikim gemurim yecholim lamoy." Based on what we discussed earlier, this is why you could understand why the level that a Baal Tshuva is on, a Tzaddik, is not on. Ki ha-Baalei Tshuva megalen u-mefarsimim b'yoyser chazdei v'tuvoi. Because the Baalei Tshuva are the ones that have the opportunity of bringing Hashem's chesed, more displaying Hashem's chesed for the world, much more so than a Tzaddikim. Al yidei shehiz chazku livtoyach v'chazdei bo'oitzim yiridois ko'elu shavru aleihem. Through the fact that the Baal Tshuva didn't give up on himself, but rather he counted on Hashem's chesed to be willing to take him back, to be willing to accept him back into the fold, despite the fact that he did all kinds of things wrong, and that held him in there, and that gave him the ability to start again and climb to the madrega that he's climbing to. Shezeh ikar gedulosa yisborah. This is the main respect for Hashem. The main respect for Hashem is when Hashem's Midas HaChesed is televised to the world. It's transmitted to the world. The world gets to see that Hashem isn't a mean Hashem, and he isn't a just Hashem, but he's even a kind Hashem. He's got all of those attributes, plus Chesed. And that's what the Baal Tshuva teaches the world. He teaches the world the chesed of Hashem. The fact that he stands in shul with the same pride and simcha as those frummies, as those very free, frum from birth people, etc. And he stands there not feeling like a second-class citizen. He stands there, I don't mean chas v'shalom of gaiva, but he stands there with a feeling of pride. His pride isn't based on how great he thinks he is. If it is, then he's mistaken. Because the truth is, again, that Tzaddik's done a million mitzvahs and you've done 1,000. How dare you consider yourself equal? The equality is based on the kindness of Hashem. That I believe, Emunah Shleima, that from Hashem's standpoint, he looks at us as equal. He loves me just as much. Because the distance between me and the Tzaddik, Hashem makes up for that distance with his quality of chesed. And Hashem is willing to treat us both as equals, just about. And so too the Tzaddik himself, this is a very important point to slip in here. One of the ingredients in a Tzaddik, and one of the definitions of a Tzaddik, is one who will make the least religious person feel equal to him. When he'll speak to him, he'll speak to him as an equal, where the other person will be feeling literally that he's not being talked down to at all whatsoever. Rav Nosson Zal brings the best possible proof to this. You have the case of the meeting of the bulges, the battle of the bulge, the two opposites imaginable in Yiddishkeit meeting. Moshe Rabbeinu, the best Jew. Yisroi, the furthest thing imaginable ever created from Judaism. The Torah says there isn't a single idol that Yisroi didn't worship. And when they meet, the Torah says, Vayishalu ish l'reyehu l'sholom. That the man asked greeted his friend with peace. Ish, Moshe Rabbeinu is called Ish, Yisroi is called Re'ehu. Rav Nosson Zal says, look what happened here. Moshe Rabbeinu is getting together with Yisroi, and he gives him a Shalom Aleichem exactly as if he was on equal par with him. That's what got Yisroi to do the tshuva that he did. That's what made the greatest Kiddush Hashem.
So we see that tzaddikim emulate Hashem in this respect. With their midas, al pi justice, al pi mishpat. What are you kidding? I'm doing you the biggest favor if I let you stand on the same block as me or be in the same country as me. That's al pi mishpat. Al pi chesed, we're just about equal. If there's chesed involved, then why should I consider myself better than you? If just because I did 100 mitzvahs more, so what? So Hashem makes up for that with His love and kindness for you. He could love you as much as He loves me. You understand? The chesed is what makes up that deficit. Greater than thou attitude. Gaiva. For sure. The Gemara says that Gerim are difficult to the Jews as thorns are like to this, because it says Shemachnisim Gaiva b'Yisrael. They inject Gaiva into Am Yisrael. In other words, it seems that this is part of a nisoyon of a ger or bal tshuva not to fall in that trap, because he sees he's made such giant leaps. In other words, on one hand, there's an excuse for it. Person who sees that yesterday he was a billion miles away from Hashem, and today he finds himself only a million miles away. It's a tremendous accomplishment, and the person wants to be proud. And when they look at somebody who's standing where they were yesterday, they think he's the worst lowlife, you know, and they forget that, hey, Charlie, you were just there 2 days ago, or 2 years ago, or 20. Don't be such a big shot. Don't, you know, and with the big shotness, you're not going to help. You'll hurt. You'll make a chilul Hashem. Whereas if you'll treat them as if they'll feel that you don't feel one iota better than them, then you have a chance of bringing them close. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's magic. That was Rabbeinu Zal's magic. Rabbeinu Zal was able to sit down with a group of apikursim, maskilim, and play chess with them, and make them feel perfectly comfortable with him, and that's how he got them over to his side. He got them to come to shul for Rosh Hashanah. You know, that story about Hersh Ber, where the last Rosh Hashanah of Rabbeinu Zal's life, he came to shul for Rosh Hashanah, and he was an aristocrat, very wealthy, so his maid came to the shul to offer him coffee. So he said, Chas Hashem, I wouldn't drink coffee before Tkiya Shofar. This was a guy who was Mechal Shabbos Befarhes, you know, the war, super anti-religious. He was a maskil. He was one of the leading maskilim at the time. And the connection to Rabbeinu Zal gave him such a respect for Yiddishkeit and for Frumkeit and for, you know, that he looked at her like she was nuts. She's offering him coffee before Tkiya Shofar.